الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, when Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Miraj, he returned with three gifts for his ummah. Prior to this miraculous journey, in the 10th year after Nubuwwat, when Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed away, and also Abu Talib, two of his greatest supporters, Abu Talib left without iman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very sad. In fact, this year is known as Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to go to Taif and make an effort amongst the people of Taif, bring them into the fold of Islam. Perhaps they will support his cause, and it will become easy to do the effort of Dawat and Tabligh to promote the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we all very well know what happened. The treatment that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Taif, his entire body was bruised, bleeding. He was chased out of Taif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was away from the from his assaulters and those that were pelting him with stones, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. Oh Allah, I only complain to you regarding the feebleness of my strength. I am weak, Ya Allah. I have made the effort, I am weak. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِ Perhaps I am not using the right strategy. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ People haven't recognized me. The maqam and the status of Hazrat Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people haven't recognized me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't complain about the people. He said, perhaps they don't recognize me. They don't know who I am. وَهَوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِ Said, Oh Allah, you are the most merciful. Continues to say, أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَدْعَفِينَ Oh Allah, you are the Lord of the weak. You are my Lord. Are you going to hand my affairs over to such people who are showing such enmity? Then finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, But, Oh Allah, if you are happy, my effort and my mission is to establish on the surface of the earth such laws, such commandments, such a deen where you will be happy. Oh Allah, as long as you are happy, then I don't care. Whatever happens to me, I got no concern and I don't care as long as you are happy. So long as you are not upset with me and Oh Allah, you are happy with me, then I am fine with it. After he completed this dua, even the angels were moved to tears with this dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to reward Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this great qurbani, great sacrifice that he made shortly thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens for this journey of Miraj. Because up until now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the effort of da'wat and tabligh with ilm yaqeen, with complete conviction. Complete conviction, knowing full well that whatever wahi and revelation was coming down to him is 100% true. But now, because of the qurbani and the sacrifice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaching that level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to reward Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with aynul yaqeen. That now, O my Nabi, you will see it. What you're giving da'wah towards, it is a very great matter. It is a very great concern. Come, I will show you that now. Up until now, he was giving da'wah with ilm yaqeen, inviting with ilm yaqeen. Now you are with aynul yaqeen. You are going to see that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens, the different levels from the first heaven to the second, second to the third, the different stages. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw all the different scenes. He was escorted through all the different levels and the different scenes of the Akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was escorted through all those scenes. And now from ilm yaqeen it went to aynul yaqeen. We all at the moment have to bring ilm, we are on ilm yaqeen. We have to come on to ilm yaqeen. Because the information has been brought to us by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is there. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. And we have to bring yaqeen on the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as we die, as soon as we leave this world, in fact, ulama explain and they say that you haven't still left this world, you are in Sakrat. And now you start seeing the realms of the hereafter, then we also will go into aynul yaqeen, where we will now start witnessing and seeing the different levels and the different scenes of the akhirat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to pacify Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reward him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his lifetime for this journey to the seven heavens for Miraj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witness and see the different levels and different scenes and realms of the hereafter. So that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now increased his effort, knowing full well that if a person dies without iman, what is going to happen to him? Now he saw Jahannam. He saw the severity of Jahannam. He saw all the tortures and the hardships that a person will go through for the different types of gunas and sin. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he returned from Miraj, his efforts was on the increase. He never decreased the effort, he increased the effort. And likewise, he put the Sahaba Ikram onto greater qurbani and greater sacrifice also. But coming back to the three gifts that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought for his ummah. This one was a reward for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him, taking him on this journey to the seven heavens. The other is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forget the ummati also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forget the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with three gifts. The first gift which we, most of us are aware of, which we hear all the time, is the five time daily salah. This was not given as a burden. This was not given as just a task or a commandment. It was given as a gift. Every other hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every other faraiz of deen was sent down whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his sahaba whilst he was on earth. As far as the command of salah is concerned, it was given as a gift to the ummah. That is why it is reported that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented salah to the sahaba ikram, they were excited, they were elated, they were happy. They say, now we have a means by which we can turn to Allah, we can speak to Allah. Sahaba Ikram used to say that when we want to hear what Allah has to say, then we open the Quran and we read from Quran. And when we want to talk to Allah, then we start Salah and we recite Quran in Salah, then we speak to Allah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the 5-time daily Salah. We all know the incident with regard to the Salah being 50, then the number was decreased by 5 until eventually 5 Salah on a daily basis was compulsory on the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right until his last moments in life, when he was leaving this world, his wasiyat was, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. This was the wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any honorable son, dutiful son, will make sure that he keeps up to the last words of his father. Father, before he is leaving this world, he is giving wasiyat to his son that, oh my son, make sure you do this and you do that, you look after your sisters and you look after your mother, and this dutiful son, honorable son, he will make sure he holds on to the last words of his father. The last words of my Nabi, of our Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. That be cautious of your salah, be cautious of your salah, and also be cautious and be considerate of your subordinates. Be considerate of them. One is to see to it that you do not usurp their rights, to be particular that they are also fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that are under your care, those upon whom you have authority, don't show your authority in the wrong way. Show your authority in the correct way. If that person who is under you, your subordinate, someone who you have authority upon, is not fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should make an effort to rectify it. Today a father gets very upset when the son or the daughter, little child, breaks a cup or a glass in the home, or breaks something in the house, scratches the car, dents the car. But that very son is not waking up for Fajr Salah. There is not even a frown on the face. There is no frown. There is no reprimand from the father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Those that are your subordinates who are under your authority, you should see to it that you check on them also. You fulfill the rights, that is one thing, which is one aspect of it. The other is you must be concerned with regard to the deen. How many times you find the boss will walk out of the shop. He'll walk out of the shop telling the Muslim staff, I'm going for salah. Telling the Muslim staff, I'm going for salah. Just check on the shop. Is that how a boss should walk out? In fact, he should be closing the door, giving targheeb to his staff, encouraging his staff, and walking out with them to the masjid. That is wama malakat aymanukum. That is now being considerate of your staff, being considerate of your subordinates and those upon whom you have authority. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man fatathu salatun faka'annama wutira ahluhu wa maluhu. A person who misses one salah, just one salah, it is as though he has lost all his family and every belonging of his. He has lost all his property. Imagine the grief, the sorrow a person will experience if he has to lose everything. He has got no relatives, no family, no food, no family, no property. He has now become completely destitute after having everything. What sadness, what grief. Worse than that is to miss one salah. On the day of Qiyamah, person sitting in Jannat, perhaps a father or the mother or the son or the daughter, and then you will look for one another. One jannati will look for some acquaintance or someone he knew in the world, he will look for him in Jannat. Son will say, I don't see my father here. My father was very particular, educated me, even made me Hafiz al-Quran. He did everything for me, but I don't see him here. What happened? Or perhaps a mother will look for the daughter, daughter look for the mother. Some friend of yours that you associated with in the world, you look for him or he'll look for you. Then it will be said, فِي جَنَّاتِ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَطَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. The Jannati will be said to him, he will be informed, that look there in Jahannam, there's that person sitting there. The one you're looking for is sitting there. May Allah Ta'ala save us. And then he will be given the opportunity to speak to him. You say, speak to him. In this zamana and age is nothing difficult for us to understand, you know. Person sitting in America with via Skype, you're seeing his face, you're seeing his surroundings and you're talking to him also. So in the same way, he'll speak to him. And he'll ask him, fi jannati yatasa'alun anil mujrimin ma salatakum fi saqar. Ask that this obedient one, what led you into the fire of Jahannam? First thing that he will say, there will be four things he will say, but the first one he will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. We were from amongst those who were neglectful of our salah. We read when we want to, we left it out when we want to. When we found an opportunity, we read. So we were not bothered about salah. One of the main reasons for them going into the fire of Jahannam is because of them being neglectful of the salah. So the highlight of Miraj, one of the most important gifts that came with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that of the 5-time daily salah. Let us understand, the salah was given as a gift, not a burden. It was not just a command that was issued, but it was brought as a gift by none other than Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brought from who? Brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So let us become particular with our 5-time daily salah. Any person who becomes particular with his 5-time daily salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify his day-to-day life also. Person doesn't have salah in his life, everything else goes upside down in his life. You want to rectify your life, bring salah in your life, and live a life around your 5-time daily salah. And it should never be that in a Muslim home, father, mother, son, daughter, all fast asleep at the time of Fajr. How is it possible in a Muslim home, when the Muazzin is saying, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, salah is better than sleep, and you find an entire Muslim home, a home wherein everyone is supposed to be the reciter of the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and when Allah has summoned us, then he is fast asleep. So the greatest arrogance after kufr and shirk, the greatest arrogance is to hear the azan and to walk past and not to go for the salah. Because indirectly what we are saying is that my appointment, my work, my job is more important than the appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. The second gift that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with was the concluding verses of Surah Baqarah. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. This was actually a gift to the Ummah. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that a man of intelligence will never go to sleep without reciting these concluding verses of Surah Baqarah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized that these ayats of the Quran, these concluding verses of the Quran from آمن الرسول till the end, وَعْفُ أَنَّا وَقْفُلْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ till there, was given to me from the treasures of Jannah. So therefore, learn it yourself. Teach it to your women and your children also. In one riwayat it is mentioned that if a person recites these ayats after Isha Salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the same reward as though he had performed Tahajjud Salah. For some reason, a person who was getting up for Tahajjud Salah couldn't get up, or perhaps we were not reading, and we recite these ayats of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward of Tahajjud Salah. So in this verse, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. It so happened, if you look at Surah Baqarah, there are many, many commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned therein. entire Surah Baqarah is full of ahkam, full of the laws and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regard to zakat, with regard to inheritance, many, many of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are found in Surah Baqarah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Whatever you make apparent or whatever you conceal within yourselves, you are still going to be taken to task for it on the day of Qiyamah. Sahaba kiram got worried. They were very conscious about akhirat. They were very, very concerned about that day when they will have to stand before Allah. Like one sahabi making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu wa khayra amali khawatimahu wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaka fi. Oh my Allah, make the best of my days that day when I will have to stand before you. So they were very concerned about that day when they will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sahaba kiram came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many commandments of Allah were revealed and we have accepted those commands. But this issue about what is within the heart and the mind of a person, many thoughts go through our minds. Many thoughts go through a person's mind. Sometimes an evil thought, Shaitan is always putting waswasa and the whisperings of Shaitan. How are we going to control that? How are we going to overcome that? If that is the case, then on the day of Qiyamah we will be finished. If we are going to be taken to task and hisab and an accountability has to be given for even the thoughts that cross our mind and our hearts, what's going to happen to us? So the advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba is, to just say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Say, we hear and we obey. Don't be like the Jews and the Christians. سَمِعْنَا وَحَشَيْنَا. We hear, but we'll do what we feel like doing. We hear, but we'll do what we feel like doing. Be like this. Say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we will obey. Whatever is within, whatever we can do, we will obey and we will accept. So upon that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that to such an extent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ, he has brought iman upon all that which has been revealed. بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ. It was imperative and necessary for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to also bring complete yakin on whatever was revealed upon him. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ. The Rasul, first of all, brings iman upon everything that was revealed upon him. مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the believers also. Now commentators of the Quran discuss why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions the Rasul and then mentions the mu'mineen at the end. Because all still have to believe in Allah and His Rasul and all that which Allah has revealed. It is for the same reason that the yaqeen and the conviction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a different level. As I mentioned in the beginning, one was ilm yaqeen, the other is aynul yaqeen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw everything. So his iman and yaqeen is on a different level. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first makes mention, amana rasulu, that the Rasul brings iman, bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, and all the believers also bring iman upon whatever has been revealed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kullu amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. Kullu amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. That they bring iman upon all these aspects, on the prophets, on the kitabs, on the malaika. And they bring iman upon everything that Allah has revealed. And then, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah loved that statement of the Sahaba. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed this and said that they say, we hear and we obey. So first thing a mu'min and a believer has to do, any hukam and command of Allah, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When we try our best, after trying our best, because we are insan, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Oh Allah, please forgive me. We have tried. But not to try, to reject, to leave out, to find loopholes, to make excuses, not to wake up for Fajr, not to try, and then say ghufranak, and then say that, you know what, Allah will forgive me, then we are fooling ourselves. So a mu'min and a believer, the first thing he says that I accept, and I hear, and I will listen, and together with that he makes an effort. After making the effort, being insan, there will be a lot of weaknesses within us. We say ghufranak, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And then the concluding verses of these of Surah Baqarah is about making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. We'll be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take us to task for our shortcomings, etc. We can look up the meaning of the concluding verses. The third gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Allah will even forgive the major sins of the ummati. Allah will also forgive the major gunas and sin of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the only thing left for us to do, Allah has promised, Allah has sent the gift. The only thing left for us to do is to lift our hands and make tawbah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Leave the gunas and sins that we are involved in. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has sent it as a gift to us. Tawbah is a gift from Allah. In fact, when a banda lifts his hands and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Halima habdi anna lahu rabban yaghfiru dhamba wa ya'khudhu bihi. The mere fact that the banda lifted his hand, it is an indication that he understood and he has realized that he has a Lord who takes to task for sins and forgives sins also. That is why he is lifting his hands and he is asking for tawbah. So now the Mubarak days are here. The month of Shaban will dawn upon us very shortly. Then the month of Ramadan. Let's take the first step. The first step is to make tawbah. Allah has promised even our major gunas and sin, Allah will forgive. Let's make amends, make tawbah, that's the first step. The second step to that is that we start bringing amals in our life. Shun gunas and sins. Come on to the basics of deen. And from the basics of deen, the first thing that we have to start with, which was the highlight of Miraj, is our 5-time daily salah. From today's asal salah, let us not miss another salah from today till the day we leave this world. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.